Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Now, the government is to consider implementing minimum unit pricing on alcohol sales without waiting to move in tandem with Northern Ireland. And it comes after Northern Ireland's Health Minister, Robin Swan, made the decision to defer the introduction of the measures until after the next Stormont elections in May of 2022. And the Fine Gael Labour Coalition decided in 2013 to pursue minimum unit pricing with the North in tandem to avoid the loss of revenue to cheap cross-border alcohol sales. So the question is there any point in implementing the measures on just one part of the island? Well, to discuss this further, I'm joined on the line by Director of Drinks Ireland, Patricia Callan, and also Professor Frank Murray, who's Chair of Alcohol Health Alliance Ireland and also a liver specialist. Good morning to you both. You're both very welcome. Frank, I'll start with you on this one. The Oireachtas passed this Alcohol Act in October of 2018. 2.5 years later, minimum unit pricing hasn't been implemented, and you want to see it happening immediately, regardless of what the North is doing.
That's an accurate summary, Claire, of where we think we should be. And thank you for inviting me to be on your show. What I would say here, if we just want to a single phrase to encapsulate this, I would say we have a need for speed. Every day we defer doing this, there's more harm associated with alcohol, unfortunately, here in Ireland. The key issue is that I think saying we're going to go in tandem with Northern Ireland was always something I felt was less than perfect. But I think particularly now with COVID, particularly with, their uncertainty up there, I think that somebody has to first foot, and I think we should first foot in relation to this. And I think there's everything to be gained and nothing to be lost.
Okay, but Patricia, you think we'll all be hiring minibuses and going to Newry to buy drink?
Well, unfortunately, it is a reality that we are one island and that there isn't a huge amount of cross-border shopping. One of the most recent studies show that about 7% of total alcohol purchases in the Republic come from the north. And we see substantial spikes every time that, for example, the exchange rate moves or the excise rate moves. Because there is such a price differential, essentially, the economic report that IBEX submitted to the Department of Finance on this showed that there's a risk of a €94 million loss to the exchequer in terms of lost revenue because we have the second highest most expensive alcohol in the EU here already. And what would happen essentially, and the then Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, said on the floor of the Dáil, that we're just exporting, what's going to happen is people will drive north, they'll buy the product, they'll bring it back here. We haven't solved the issues around alcohol misuse, but we have made a massive dent in our exchequer returns.
I suppose the drinks industry isn't in a great place to complain about revenues dropping when you've had a year where sales of alcohol, according to Kantar, boosted by 34% year on year, and despite restaurants being closed and bars being closed, wine consumption climbed by 12% in 2020.
Well, Claire, obviously, the whole sector has been absolutely devastated. The on-trade is the most substantial revenue base for all breweries, cideries and spirits producers. That's where the value is added, and that's been closed now for a full year. Overall, the revenue data that was just published last week showed that alcohol consumption per capita, as in per person, has fallen by 6.6%. But within that, there's been a massive decline in beer, for example, down 17%. So imported products such as wine have increased, but certainly in terms of the impact, the economic impact on our sector has been absolutely tremendous. And obviously, as an exporting country, we export products to 140 countries. That closure of the on-trade globally has also impacted our export sales. So people are really having to make very hard decisions in terms of maintaining their businesses and trying to keep their people in jobs.
So are you saying that people are drinking less during the pandemic overall?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's what the revenue data showed.
Frank, do you accept that?
That's correct. So there was about a 6% fall, as Patricia said, in overall alcohol consumption. But what has happened is virtually all of the alcohol that was consumed in the off-trade, on the on-trade, in hotels, in restaurants and bars, is now consumed at home, which is a much less safe environment for consuming alcohol. And the problem is, that people are cooped up in their homes with COVID. They're unable to do other things. We hear from the guards, we hear from TUSLA, we hear from lots of agencies that there's much more domestic stress and trouble at home. And that's contributed to by this tidal wave of alcohol that's washing through Irish society at home.
And do you believe, Professor Murray, that if you increase the unit price of alcohol, if you make cider more expensive, wine, beer, that people will be less inclined to drink as much as they're drinking now?
I think there's no doubt about that. So if you look at other countries, the evidence from other countries that have had minimum unit pricing, such as Scotland or Canada or other jurisdictions in Europe or parts of Australia, what they have found in all of those countries is the following. First of all, alcohol consumption falls. Secondly, admissions to hospital as a consequence of alcohol falls. Thirdly, crime associated with alcohol falls. So there's nothing, there's everything to love and nothing to dislike about minimum unit pricing.
We're in a situation, Frank, where the consumption per capita has fallen over the last year. We have these new barriers now in supermarkets whereby the alcohol has to be behind some sort of a screen or a barrier. Things are changing. Do we really need this added measure?
For absolute, but first of all, Claire, it's in the Act. The Act was enacted by the Oireachtas, by the Shannon and the Dáil. It is in place. It just needs to be commenced. So I think we've had all this discussion before. We've gone through all the arguments. The alcohol industry is desperate to optimise its profits and is all the time fighting a rearguard action. Now, I personally think the best buy of all the six kind of categories of steps within the Public Health Alcohol Act, the most effective is minimum unit pricing.
Even though, Patricia says, people will drive to Northern Ireland and get the cheap drink. In fact, she says the state will lose nearly 100 million euro to the north.
I have to say, I think Patricia Callan is a shroud waver. You know, every bit of this act, Patricia and the industry have been waving a shroud, saying, oh, a cone to cone, our industry is going to die. Of course it's not. There always has been and there always will be some cross-border trade. But people aren't going to drive from Cork or Limerick or Galway to get alcohol. There's around the border there will be some trade, but nothing like the exaggerations that are produced by the alcohol industry.
Patricia, shroud waving.
Well, I think Frank just is ignoring the evidence, the economic evidence that's in our government's data sources. And this is very concerning, particularly as a public health advocate is recommending a measure which will drive people into their cars and spread this virus further, particularly as we know already with the North reopening before the South that there will be a lot of movement north anyway. We saw in the last recession that people did get in their cars and they drove from Cork. And what happens is that they go for the alcohol, but they do their entire shop in the North, and then you have a much greater economic devastation.
I wonder how often now that happens. How frequently do people get into the car in Cork and go to the north for the cheap drink?
Well, you may remember, obviously, the government does track this, and the NRA tracks the southern regions in supermarkets across the border, and half the population are essentially within an hour of those supermarkets. And we've lived with this. But to be very clear, we are not against minimum unit pricing. We're simply asking for the government to redouble its efforts, and I represent companies in the north too, and I'm engaging with the Northern Ireland authorities, to actually get this done jointly on the island of Ireland. That is the critical thing here. And certainly I don't think, a damage to our exchequer when we're already hemorrhaging jobs and costs. And bearing in mind so many people have lost their jobs and are financially strained, and therefore the extra few pounds on their grocery shop will dictate where they go to shop. But that's the reality we're facing at the moment. So this, I think, is a dangerous proposal at this point in time. But I would certainly urge the government to redouble their efforts with the Northern Ireland counterparts and try to progress this agenda.
And Professor Frank Murray, at least now we know. I mean, I have the figures in front of me now. I know what people are buying in supermarkets when it comes to alcohol. If we do this, if we do it out of step with Northern Ireland, we will lose track even on the figures when it comes to buying and consumption of alcohol and off licences.
I think, Claire, that there is a real need for urgent action around alcohol in Ireland. The net gain of this measure to the Exchequer will be huge because there is a cost to alcohol consumption in terms of health and social service and productivity that we all know about. Those arguments have all been taken place, and I think that argument has been won, to be perfectly honest, by the people who say we should reduce alcohol consumption here in Ireland. So I think the problem is that if you put these caveats, like saying we'll move with Northern Ireland within the Act, if you put that into the commencement, I think we'll end up in a situation where there's a failure to act in a coherent way, which we've had, because we're now 2.5 years since, as you mentioned earlier, 2.5 years since the Act was completed. So I don't see any reason at all to delay. And just to go back to the cross-border.
Would you accept that it does make it more attractive to do cross-border shopping if the alcohol's cheaper up there?
I think it may make it a little bit more attractive, but overall we've got to look and say, I think that there's going to be less people getting harmed from alcohol, such as cancers and suicide and depression and so on and so forth, and liver disease and all these other things that we've discussed many times before. So that will cost the state less. Looking after people will cost the state less because there will be less harm to the users of alcohol themselves and to their family and to people using the roads and so on. So the net gain from reducing alcohol consumption will overwhelm any exchequer loss. Mm-hmm. So remember, a key thing to remember, Claire, a 10% of all exchequer spending in Ireland is spent dealing with the consequences of alcohol.
Okay, Patricia Cannon, I want to come back to you on something we heard earlier in the programme. We had Minister Patrick O'Donovan on. We're talking about what might happen tomorrow, and he said that it was a failure of government not to deal with off licences in the period leading up to Christmas. I'm just wondering, if we see a repeat of some of the scenes that happened before Christmas on the streets, will it be yet another failing, not just by government, but also by the people you represent?
Well, I represent manufacturers and suppliers, so obviously you're talking about the retailers who are separate. But I think, you know, we've been very clear in our messaging all along that we absolutely have to abide by the government's guidelines on this. It's in all our interest to get the numbers down while the vaccine has been rolled out, and that when we reopen, and it's vitally important for the hospitality sector that we do so in a really safe and sustainable manner and restore consumer confidence. So certainly there should be nobody congregating, etc. But I do think, you know, in terms of I didn't hear Patrick's comments, but all of the analysis shows that third wave was starting well before hospitality reopened last November, and that in essence, you know, the data doesn't support that it was a mass spreader. People in their own households socialising and getting together, that is the biggest issue, and we all need to stick with these government guidelines now to make sure the numbers come down.
We know
because
that
it's too important.
Some pubs are beginning or have been selling takeaway pints again, despite the government saying, please don't do that. Do you think they should stop?
Well, it's absolutely up to each individual publican, because they have a licence just like a retailer or an off-licence does, and they are obviously massively, you know, financially hit by all of this. But they need to be very clear that it is takeaway. It can't be consumed on or near the pub within 100 metres. And very much, you know, as a product, people love, obviously, a draft pint. And people have been actually having takeaway pints throughout this and bringing them home. And that's certainly where they should be. And it's up to the Garda to enforce. And I think there's an education piece, too, that people know that you're not allowed to consume alcohol on the streets in public under the bylaws.
I wonder, would your members be aware that there's a bigger demand now for kegs? Because I remember reading there were really strict controls on who could buy kegs because of all the controversy that we had around Christmas time. Has there been a lift, are you aware, in keg sales?
No, as far as I'm aware, the breweries haven't been supplying at all. In fact, what happened after each of the two previous lockdowns is that we as a sector actually bore the whole financial cost of collecting out-of-date beer in terms of keg lifts and then disposing of that beer in an environmentally friendly fashion. So that cost our industry, on top of obviously lost sales, €30 million in terms of that operation, and €16 million in each of the two previous lockdowns. So what happens is, because the short notice of lockdowns, the product's already on site, and obviously if it's already on site, the pub it's their individual choices to whether to sell or not. But it's very concerning, the growing trend that you're seeing that there are kegs in houses, etc., because there are health and safety issues around that with regard to gas, etc., and none of that should be occurring.
Okay, so, well, where are they getting them
all
from?
Part of, but again, Shebeen's illegal, illicit, you know, so when you tell people they can't do something,
where
then
are they getting the kegs from?
Behavior.
They're getting the kegs from your members?
No, they absolutely are not. So breweries will only be supplying to licensed premises.
Oh, the pubs are selling them to the Shebeen owners.
Well, we don't know that either. I know the guards have investigations ongoing, but hopefully something will come of that.
That's the only thing that makes sense there. If it's not the manufacturer supplying them to the Shebeens, you're saying the manufacturers only sell to licensed premises.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's, you know, there's no other way they're getting them.
That may
say?
Well be, but again, I'm not a criminal investigator.
Okay. Patricia Callan, Director of Drinks Ireland, Professor Frank Murray, thank you both indeed for joining us.